Welcome to the Prospect Pod, powered by the Weekly Streamer. You can follow the Weekly Streamer on Instagram and Twitter at Weekly Streamer. And here's your host,
going on, everybody. This is Richard Hake, aka The Hawk, and this is the Prospect Pod. Welcome back to another week. This is really going to be the first week of the actual Prospect Pod, not a system breakdown. We are doing it all right, talking about minor league baseball, what's going on. And I'm so happy today because I'm not alone. You guys don't have to listen to my voice by itself. I'm joined by the real OG, the Country Biscuit. From the Full Count Pod, he's here to join me. Country Biscuit, Hunter Riggs, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, brother. Feels like we're bringing it back old school. This is, if people have been listening, this was the original Biscuit and the Hawk back before I was Biscuit. And it feels good to, yeah, it feels good to be back with my brother over here. He's doing great. You're doing great things with the Prospect Pod, and just loving the growth that we're having here with the streamer. And man, I'm ready to talk some minor league baseball. What people don't know is I can hold my own. I ain't quite the Hawk, but I could get some punches in there. So I'm excited, brother.
He is right there with me. I promise you that. The takes that you hear from the Country Biscuit on the Full Count Pod, it's wonderful because these two podcasts, and Hunter, you and I have talked about this before. It's so good whenever they can kind of, you know, intertwine with each other. And the good thing is because you have so much knowledge on the prospect side, too, that whenever you're talking about it in the major league aspect and what it can do for a lot of your fantasy leagues, you know, it really does help. And that's what you bring to the table there. And you've said this on multiple times as well. I like to try to do more on the scouting side. This is a fantasy-based podcast, but it's also scouting on the prospect side. You bring it more to the fantasy side, and I can't thank you enough for doing that kind of stuff.
Yes, sir.
Just to get a little bit of housekeeping out of the way, guys, subscribe to the podcast, rate and review. It really does help us get our name out there into the industry. And of course, whenever you're subscribing to the Weekly Streamer Network. Therefore, you don't miss any podcasts. You don't have to subscribe to all these different ones, have the notifications pop up left and right. No, one podcast, the Weekly Streamer Network, gets you the Prospect Pod, and it gets you the Full Count podcast with your boy, the Biscuit. And Ryan Antkowiak, he is all there. You guys want to get a part of that, so make sure you subscribe. Make sure that you check out the Weekly Streamer Facebook group. We have a private and public page. The private page, you know, it just is a little bit more private, right? But it's a great area for you to be able to talk with a lot of the folks that are in there. Great minds, questions galore. The Biscuit gets in there, and he has fun with some trade evaluations. We have our weekly Raz that we do on there, which is, you know, signed MLB merchandise. We raffle those off. It's a fun group to be in, and you need to be a part of it. That's it. We just had the signed Sammy Sosa jersey go on Friday. Yeah, Friday night. So Christopher Grieve, actually one of our sponsors here for the Weekly Streamer. He has the Line Drive Outfitters. If you've listened to our podcast, you'll hear it in the middle section. Oh, great items there. Make sure that you guys go check that out, Line Drive Outfitters. If you haven't checked it out already, make sure that you check out our brand new Weekly Streamer Patreon page. There you can find all the write-ups that we do, the system breakdowns that you listen to all throughout the off season. If you missed one, you wanted to go back and read them, they're all there, easily found. It's the best place to find it there. $5 gets you that, but it's a whole lot more. You get the rankings, you know, the dynasty rankings, prospect rankings, first year player draft. I'm already into the 2022 first year player draft. Make sure that you check that out. And of course, you get access to our private Discord channel. There you can be able to talk directly with us, with the Biscuit, you know, Ed, the Irish Finger Hut, all of us. We're all there ready to talk with you. And of course, Dodger Dave. And if you listened to last week, he is all about some love. So give your love to Dodger Dave. And then of course, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow me at MustBeTheHawk. And you know, whenever you're following me on Instagram or Twitter, you're going to be seeing the live looks that I see in the backfields as it's happening. Okay. I don't have the time to post it to the Facebook page all the time, but I'm really quick to Twitter. You'll be able to see it right there. Kind of get a little bit of a leg up in your leagues. So check me out on Instagram and Twitter at Must Be The Hawk. You can also check out Hunter Rakes on Twitter as well. He is at TWS_Biscuit.
Biscuit. Nope. Just TWS Biscuit. I think it is. I never know.
I think Ed's the underscore. I think you're TWS Biscuit.
So I think you're right. I don't ever tweet myself. So yes, TWS Biscuit. I'm like that old guy who doesn't know his own phone number. He's like, oh, I don't call myself.
Oh, I know. I know, man. I'm the same way. And Hunter actually heads up our weekly streamer TikTok account as well and has been pretty active on there. If you guys do get a chance and you are on TikTok, make sure that you go and check out the weekly streamer on there. That is head up by Hunter Rakes. And you do a fantastic job with that. And another public service announcement, and then we'll be able to move on to some news and notes. If you guys are interested in prospects, if you're interested in MLB and you want to be a part of our weekly streamer crew, the ones who do the writing, do these podcasts, if you want to guest on some of these podcasts and you have a desire to try to do that, get yourself into the industry, get some experience here, we want to have you, okay? We are growing
exponentially.
Can't speak tonight. Yeah, that works, right? So if you guys want to join in, please let us know. You can reach us on Instagram, Twitter. You can reach us on Facebook, Instant Messenger, anything. You reach out to us, we'll be able to talk with you. We'll be able to try to see if you're a great fit for us and get in. You know, we're all over the place. I know with the moderators that we have here at the Weekly Streamer, we are across the country. I'm in North Carolina. I know Hunter is in Indiana. Ed's out in New Mexico. We got guys all over the country. Okay. So if you want in, let us know. We'll be more than happy to talk with you and try to get you in with us. So that's good. Moving on into the actual show, right, Hunter? That's what we're all here for.
I'm ready. Ready.
There we go. So we're going to get into the news and notes section of the podcast here. And there's been a lot of different things that are going on. We have some MLB call-ups. We got guys that are being assigned left and right. So far with the minor league season, I mean, it's been pretty interesting seeing the call-ups of some of these guys that I will be honest with you, I wasn't really expecting to be able to see called up as early as they have. One thing that we have been pretty excited to see so far is that the Baltimore Orioles are moving left-hand pitcher D.L. Hall and catcher Adley Rutschman up to AAA Norfolk. Adley, he was finishing the year in Norfolk last year, so he does have some experience. D.L. Hall dealt with a little bit of injuries last year, whenever he was having that stellar, AA performance in Bowie. So, Hunter, what do you expect here with D.L. Hall and Adley Rutschman? I think a lot of us are expecting Adley to be able to make his major league debut this year. What do you think in terms of D.L. Hall that you expect based on what you know?
I mean, I would say you're going to see D.L. Hall spend the majority of the year at the AAA level. They have shown, especially with Grayson Rodriguez, that they're not interested in pushing prospects faster than they need to be pushed. D.L., has had some injury issues. But I think at 23, almost 24, they really want to just go ahead and push them and keep them right there. It's going to make that AAA team really fun to watch. But I think you see him the entire year there. I don't think they rush him. So I would be shocked that you see him at all this year. If you do see him maybe toward the end in September, maybe in a bullpen role, which I definitely see him being used in, that K rate is fantastic. You did see some decent walk numbers in AA with a 2.45 walks per nine, so that was very encouraging. The K's have stayed consistent throughout, so it wouldn't shock me if he gets a little bullpen run. He's never, really pitched more than 94 innings in a season, so they are going to take their sweet time as they should with D.L. Hall. So if you're somebody relying on him, I wouldn't rely on him to help you this year, but definitely keep an eye out.
Yeah, I agree, and I mean they've been light with him so far this year. I mean, he made, you know, one start in high A, one start in double A. Of course, the K's are right around what you see. His stuff is absolutely nasty. You know, high velocity type, and especially from the left hand arm slot with DL Hall. You know, I saw him in double A whenever he was up in playing Hartford and the Yard Goats, and he was absolutely filthy. He was really, really awesome. Adley was catching that game as well. So I think what they're trying to do here is trying to, you know, get Adley, DL Hall, and of course Grayson Rodriguez is up in AAA right now too. So all three of them are there, and I think that they're going to try to push them in all together. With Adley, Adley's gotten a little bit of playing time here recently. In AA, high A, AA, and AAA, he played a couple games in each one of them so far. The walk rate is still fantastic, 13.3, 14.3, 20%. The guy is just, you know, he's so disciplined at the plate, and it fits. He has never had a walk rate in the minor leagues below 12.5. So, you know, that's pretty awesome whenever you're looking at it from that point. And he hasn't had a K rate above 19.1%. You know, 400s, 500s in terms of average for the last couple of games. I think that there is a very realistic possibility that we could see Adley, Grayson, and DL Hall by the end of the year. But I think that there's a very real possibility that we're going to at least see him in the minor leagues until the All-Star break, at the least. Yeah. I know a lot of people are expecting him to be up any time, and I just don't think that's going to be the case.
So what are the chances? Because I mentioned it, but I really see – I think there's a lot of reliever risk with DL Hall. I don't know. You've seen him more than I have. The stuff is electric, what you can see in the numbers. It just screams reliever to me. Now, I'm also the leader of the train that that's not a bad thing. Elite back-of-the-bullpen arms are amazing, especially in fantasy, from that perspective. So what do you think? Do you think the Orioles are going to give him every shot, or does there come a time where he may get put into that bullpen-type role?
I think they're going to give him every shot possible. I don't think it's a bad idea to move him into the bullpen because the stuff, like you said, is absolutely electric. If he was a relief pitcher and was put into that role, he would easily be either a setup man or a closer. I mean, no doubt. I mean, the stuff is just so filthy. The problem, and you said this yourself, he's never pitched above 94 in a third innings. So he just doesn't have the innings on his arm. And partially the Orioles are trying to push him as much as they're trying to do because he hasn't spent all those bullets, right? The injuries are definitely a concern. He's been dealing with a lot in terms of the elbow, the shoulder. I mean, it's just been a whole bunch with DL Hall. And honestly, he hasn't had the dreaded TJ to this point either, which is amazing. He's gone through all these problems, and none of which was Tommy John. So, you know, I think that they're going to give him every opportunity. I think that they'll put him out there and try to run it. I know you and I, we just watched Matt Brash, you know.
Yeah. Call that. Man, I was one week from getting on the board. If you listen to the full count, we have a game we play called Swing and Miss Takes, and that was one of my takes. I was 1 week off. I knew he was going to get sent back down. They played around. That man is going to be a sick, nasty closer. The Mariners are doing the right thing there. But go ahead. I apologize.
Oh, no. It's not a problem at all. No, I agree. I think that there is a very big risk for a reliever. Here's the thing. Grayson Rodriguez is more of a complete pitcher, and he should be a starter long term. DL has got a ton of upside, and if he can keep it together, he might just be as good, and that'll be a massive 1-2 punch. And if you have that 1-2 punch, plus John Means in there, oh my gosh, watch out. Baltimore Orioles fans have got to be excited about that. And Hunter's always been a high guy on Means.
No, for sure. Oh, I love Means, and I'm just glad he went and got the TJ out of the way. So by this time next year, hopefully, when the Orioles are really ready to compete, he can be their front of the rotation there.
Talking about front of the rotation potential here, we are going to be talking about one of the major call-ups that we just heard today. On Saturday,
heck yeah,
we recorded this.
Heck yeah. It'll
be George Kirby. Elon, rise up, guys. Rise up, Elon. George Kirby is going to be making his major league debut, I believe, here on Sunday. So tomorrow, you guys will be listening to this a little bit later, but you know, he'll be making his major league debut here on Sunday. George Kirby. Hunter, tell me, talk to me a little bit about George Kirby in your mind of what you think and what you expect in the major league side of it. We'll talk about the prospect side in here a little bit, but I want to hear what you expect from George Kirby realistically for the majors.
I mean, okay. So I have to mention he's only pitched 92 innings total in the last 3 years so far, this year, 2021 and 19, okay, because of the COVID season. So I will go ahead and put that into the world that there's some worry about the innings on the arm. I would say they baby him at best. Okay, that's probably going to happen. So if you go and get him, understand that that's definitely a possibility. The guy's amazing. Bottom none. And Hawk has been on him probably earlier than anybody from a prospect side. But George Kirby is absolutely a fantasy ace. Once the inning concern goes away and he starts putting innings on that arm, if everything goes to plan, he is an absolute ace, and it's not close. You're looking at a guy who's going to give you probably around 10 or so Ks per nine. He's going to flirt under 2 walks per nine. He is just an absolute filthy with his arm, and he's been filthy everywhere he's gone. He is amazing all the time and then some. I think what Matt Brash probably had on him in pure electrifying stuff, Kirby is just a pitcher. Just is a good, like, he just has the pitch ability. I feel that he's safer. As safe as you can be with a pitcher that you know is going to be good. I don't know how good. I don't know if the innings, if he'll be able to be that workhorse that's almost like a unicorn in today's game that can go 6 every time. That just doesn't happen. But in a world where Logan Gilbert is pitching out of his mind, he's a better prospect than Logan Gilbert. And Logan Gilbert is amazing. And he's better, potentially, if the arm can go the innings, he's better than Gilbert. And I think you can expect, honestly, if keep bringing it back, if he can go 150, he's a top 10 potential starting pitcher in this league.
You heard it here first.
Yep.
Top 10 pitcher potential. And you're right. And here's the thing. You know, you know me better than almost anybody here. Now, 2019, we saw basically two other pitchers in that 2019 draft class. It was horrible for pitching, quote unquote. We saw Nick Lodolo, saw Alek Manoah. They're doing pretty darn good now. And they're doing pretty darn good now, right? And George Kirby had the best control in that entire draft class. Lodolo has shown that he has some pretty darn good control as well. But this is a guy that literally has a 70 grade control. And that fastball was not anything to be excited about in that draft. He has raised that velocity, you know, to a point where he's hitting high 90s. He can reach back and almost hit triple digits. I think he did in one or two of the games last year.
Stop that. Stop the triple digit stuff.
I don't want it. Stop it.
Stop. You don't need it. You don't need it.
I need the pinpoint control.
Yep.
I want him to be able to rear back if he needs it, but I don't want him to bring it out all the time. But just like you said, last year was the longest that he's ever gone, and that's 67 innings pitched. There is going to be a little bit of time and a little bit of growth for him. It might take a little bit of time for him to get deeper into the games, okay? But they haven't wasted the bullets here. You know, I hate to use that terminology, but it's really true. Just like DL Hall, he hasn't pitched much, had to deal with the 2020 COVID season. So lost stats there. We don't know what that was. And now we're being put in here. I think that this is going to be really exciting. 11.68 K per nine right now in the minor leagues. And, you know, a 1.82 ERA. He's done this in 5 starts already to this point, and he's holding batters to a 195 average against. I'm sorry, that's exactly what you want to see out of the front of the order type of guy. And just like you said, Hunter, we see Logan Gilbert in there right now getting it done. I think this is going to be a better version of Logan Gilbert, and I like Logan Gilbert a lot.
Yep, and I will say it's encouraging. Kirby's almost gone 5 innings every single start. He's averaging like right under 5. So it means they're letting him go 4 to 5 innings every time, which we know, especially in minor league baseball, they don't really go by. Like, they'll pitch him 3 and take him out, or 2. Like, they don't live by the same rules that they do in the majors. And I love the take you made about the bullets, because we see that a lot in football with running backs, right? And you can almost even kind of see the similarities that sometimes we like the running backs. We draft them in college that are in a tandem, in a committee, because they have fresh legs, right? There's not the wear and tear. There's not the miles on the wheels in running backs. Kind of the same way I like your idea with pitchers there, is that the miles aren't on Kirby's arm. They've not thrown him 130 innings and wearing him out in the minors. They've taken him along. Refine your stuff. We'll bulk you up in the majors. We'll work on that there. We'll make sure that when you're bulking up, you can stay in fancy hotels and fly on planes. We don't want you bulking up, sleeping in a Greyhound in somewhere in Little Rock, Arkansas, or somewhere like that. We want you living big when this is going on with our trainers.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it. Right. So I'm excited about that, and that's a really good way to say it. That's exactly it. So moving on right along here, Hunter, I almost have to take – I don't want to say I want to take a victory lap, because I want to see what happens whenever he does get to the major league level and actually produces, which he did for his first game today. Talk about Royce Lewis. Royce Lewis got the call for the Minnesota Twins. I know our boy Ryan is absolutely thrilled, closet Twins fan.
Oh, yeah.
Royce Lewis was kind of left for dead in fantasy circles left and right because of the injuries that he has sustained. I was really, really excited with the work that he was doing in 2020, kind of working on, retooling that leg kick, that horrible leg kick that he had. Timing mechanism was really off. Goes into 2021 looking pretty darn sharp, and then all of a sudden, done for the year. Done for the year. Everybody, once again, is just like, oh, he's hurt. Don't want anything to do with him. I'm glad to see that he's come around and that he's pushing it. What do you expect from Royce Lewis here going into the major leagues?
I mean, the guy is still just 23. That's the scary part. And right, we have talked about Royce Lewis for so long. And I think that's part of the issue, is that we're prospect fatigued. I will also say the other thing that's going against Royce Lewis is just the renaissance of shortstop prospects that we have in today's game. If you don't like Royce Lewis, there's 13 others just like him in the top 100. And we are in probably the best era that I can remember of athletic shortstop prospects. There are so many of great, young, and talented guys, especially in the international markets, that if he's not producing right there, there's guys to take his place from a prospect type. So I think that's hurt him a little bit. But with Royce Lewis, you're going to see a guy that I think is just solid across the board when it's going well. The biggest thing for him is going to get that walk rate up. This is the first year he's had since 2017, walk rate above 10. For him to be successful, he has to keep that split in about the 7 and under range. And what I mean is, it needs to be around 10, around, probably 9 to 15, and anywhere from 18 to 23 on the K rate. He needs to keep about a 5 to 6 gap. You don't want to see double-digit gaps between walk rate and K rate. As long as the walk rate up there, when he's walking, he's amazing. Everything plays up. I don't think he's going to fill a ton of bases. He'll steal some. Don't see like somebody who can carry you. But I think he can get double digits. He can tease double digits and home runs. I'll tell you, man, he feels like a more walking version of, I think, like when Ozzie Albies came up. He had a little bit of both, but not a lot of bit of both. And if the walk rate can get there, he might. And I've also gone on record that I think after this crazy pitching year and with the lockout, baseball is going to figure out some way to juice the crap out of that ball next year. Or even at the All-Star break, they're going to find something to put Barry Bonds' little steroids inside that ball, because chicks dig the long ball and no hitters don't pay the bills. So I'll be very interested to see if that ball starts flying. And if it does, we've seen a lot of hitters, Albies, Francisco Lindor, where once they got to the majors and with the major league ballparks, that the bat just pops. So I think at this point the price is still not there, but he has all the makings to be a high-level shortstop in this league. So if you stuck with him, bravo. I know I didn't. I got off that as fast as I could because I'm impatient. But I really think he could be solid. And the Twins know what they're doing. So, and really, there's not a ton holding him back there. Jorge Polanco's still there for a little bit, but I don't necessarily think they're enamored with him long term. He could also go to second, play other places. So I think Royce Lewis, if not this year, No, next year for sure could be someone you could roster on 12-team and up fantasy rosters.
It really makes you question the Correa signing, you know.
Yeah.
You had Miranda and you have Lewis right here. Now, they do have the opt-outs.
Yeah, so, yeah, which I think was kind of the plan. Give him what he wants. If he overperforms, hey, great. We got to benefit, but now you're gone. So then it works, right? Right.
But now he's dealing with the injury.
Yeah, well then you get to keep him, and it's never a bad thing to have too much talent, you know. So
yeah, talent always finds a way to play. And Royce Lewis has absolutely been tearing up the ball in AAA this year. Okay, so his first taste of AAA. Okay, he's played 24 games. He has 3 home runs, 21 runs scored. 11 RBIs, 8 stolen bases. He's only been caught once in 9 attempts. That's pretty darn good. As you said, the walk rate is the highest that it's ever been at 15.9, and the K rate is at 18.7. Very respectable. You know, with all of the struggles that people had with Royce Lewis in terms of the average and everything along that line, he never got out of hand with his K rate, if you notice that. You know, I think the highest K rate that I'm seeing here that he had was 22.3. So this isn't a guy that's just going to strike out, you know, all over the place. Not what we're accustomed seeing with a lot of 30% Ks in the major league level. A 310 average, 430 OBP is absolutely phenomenal. 563 slug. But Hunter, one of the main things that I really liked, we talked about this in the moderator's chat a little bit earlier as well. In the minor leagues, I always like to see extra base hits, doubles,
yeah,
because as their bodies are still, you know, developing, 23 years old, he still has some minor tweaks to be able to have here, but more muscle mass could be put on there. He already has in 24 games, 11 doubles on the season.
It's amazing.
And one triple. The triple to me is speed related, okay? To me, that's a double, okay? His legs did the final leg there. So, you know, 12, you know, doubles and triples combined. I love that with Royce Lewis. I'm glad to see it. Glad to see that he's getting an opportunity. And I'll be really happy to be able to see him continue to do that in Minnesota. Like I said, had his first game today, first major league hit. Congratulations, Royce Lewis. We are definitely, definitely happy to see this. So, yesterday, we also saw somebody who, with the Weekly Streamer in general, we have talked a ton on, and it's been a roller coaster up and down. And right here, the guy that I have right next to me, he has been the guy who's been down on him. And so far, he has been absolutely correct. Okay. Give him props where props is due. We're talking about Boston outfielder Jaron Duran. He gets the call, and guess what, Hunter?
Sit right back down.
Goes back, right back down. Down. Welcome back, KK Hernandez. Welcome back.
Yeah, man, I don't hate Jaron Duran, but anybody who's listened to me long enough knows that I have a type of prospect that I gravitate toward, and a guy who lives on low-ish walk rates and high-ish K rates is not usually a guy that I gravitate toward. If you're telling me that your calling card is you have to live on a 250 average to be successful, that scares me because so many things have to go correct, just like we were talking about earlier. And that's what worries me. And I've also said this in the moderator's chat today. The best thing for Jaron Duran's career is for the Red Sox to suck because they have to be motivated to play him every single day because he's not getting anything out of AAA. He is making AAA his redheaded stepchild. He is beating the brakes, Rihanna style, on Jaron Duran. Okay? He is Chris Breezy in that. So they gain nothing from that. And they just show no willingness to give him run every day because they don't want to give him the time to cut his teeth. So he's already 25 years.
Yeah, 25 years old, and he's destroying AAA. He's destroying AAA.
Yes, there's no reason. Agreed.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, here's what I would probably love to see, and this is what I think may have happened. Maybe I don't know. We'll see. I would love to see a trade with one of these teams. I don't know who they would trade, but man, I'd love to see the Pirates go and get him. just a team like that that could use, that could give him the run, the guard, there's one. That would be right. They need an outfielder. They can move him. I mean, you, any pitching, they could be pitching there. I mean, you could ask them. I mean, look, Zach Plesac, they don't love the guy. Maybe you talk a trade there. They either need to play him or trade him. I don't know what it plays in fantasy. I think he can. You know, there's a guy on our, you know, old Matty Beard game has always been high on him. I've not been quite as high. But he's a roto darling, right? Like, if he can get the bat on the ball, he's a guy who realistically has 25. He's like a poor man's Kyle Tucker. He can give you similar-ish stats. He could be Kyle Tucker. Like, if you told me in 5 years he is Kyle Tucker, I would not be shocked. But I also wouldn't be shocked if you told me he's no longer in baseball in 5 years. It's just that way. And he's at that impasse right now at 25 years old in AAA. He's either going to get run or he's going to be a career minor leaguer and a career quad A, go back and forth. And he's too good to be that. But the Red Sox either need to, you know, poop or get off the pot. So that's my only problem with Jarren Duran is the Red Sox don't seem committed to letting him do what he needs to do. So they need to trade him. Ed Fingerhead said that today. So I'd like to hear what the Hawk thinks.
It's true. Hey, I'm kind of with you on that because here's the thing. AAA this year, 15 games have only been played to this point. But in those 15 games, 2 home runs, 7 stolen bases, 11 RBIs. The walk rate is the highest that it's ever been in his major league career at 13.4%. He's being a little bit more patient at the plate here. He's brought down his K rate substantially, okay? Last year, whenever he was in the major leagues, it was atrocious. It was 35.7%. You cannot do that. Not even Joey Gallo gets away with that, okay? That's the reason why he went back down to AAA. 19.4%, okay? So it's back down to a very respectable level. This is where I want to see him performing. But at a 397 average, a 478 OBP, and a 638 slug, you love seeing those numbers. I think that he can produce at the major league level as long as he has his approach back where it needs to be. This is what we were seeing back in 2018 and 19 in the minor leagues with him before he ended up gearing up more towards that power. Who knows? Maybe he just doesn't need to get to the power. Stick to your speed, right. Stick to the contact ability and the walk rate. I mean, he's not a tremendous walk rate guy, but if this is something that he's trying to figure out, stick to it, man. Don't go for power. The power will come, okay? And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But if you're a good, solid, top-of-the-order leadoff guy, there's tons of fantasy value. There's tons of real-life value there. And the Boston Red Sox could benefit tremendously from it. But whenever you're going out there and acquiring Jackie Bradley Jr., this is why they did it, right? It all makes sense now. They knew that they weren't going to keep him up there. I need to see Jarren Duran have a new home. And the Guardians, hit me up. I'll reach out to him. Answers, right?
New agent.
I just proclaim myself that, huh? All right. Moving right along here. Sorry. Whenever the biscuit and I get to talking, it gets to be a little long-winded at times.
A little bit.
Of course. But hey, you guys love it, right? next guy I want to talk about here, a relief pitcher. We're going to stay in Boston. Okay. Why not? Shipping back up to Boston. This is a guy that
I love him.
I know Hunter absolutely loves. We brought him up last year in the prospect pod. I'm talking about Breon Bello, right-handed pitcher for the Red Sox. He threw a 7-inning no-no in Double-A Portland here this past week. He looked absolutely filthy in that start. And you know, the numbers in Double-A Portland right now, you know, look pretty darn solid with a 12.04 K per nine. You love seeing that. 27 and two-thirds innings pitched. You're seeing 45 strikeouts. No, I'm sorry. No. 37 strikeouts to this point in Double-A. I mean, he looks absolutely filthy, and I don't think it'll be long before he ends up getting to Triple-A, which is pretty impressive, seeing as though he's only 22 years old. So, Hunter, what do you think about Bello?
I love Breon Bello. And I'll give credit where credit was due. You were talking about him a while back. I kind of heard, you know, one of our fellow baseball guys and Eric Cross talk about him. And, you know, there was just mild hype, like, hey, this could be a guy. And I went and bought him in droves. If there was a team that was available, I went and got him. I'm in two leagues with Mr. Hawk here, and I made sure I drafted that son of a gun early. I did not let it be I drafted him in the second round in every prospect draft we had because I did not want Mr. Hawk to get a chance. I think you're looking at a guy. I think someone said Pedro 2.0. Now I'm not nuts, and I'm not going to sit here and say that. I'm not that guy. We're not going to be that today. But you're looking at a guy who goes fastball, changeup, both plus pitches. The sliders there. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, at that point, it's not hard to do. So, you know, he's a guy with, you know, he's got two plus pitches and a third one that's getting close. He's just got overall sick stuff, man. I just, in a team that's so needy on pitching, they are going to do whatever is possible to get him up. And he's already in that, like, that sweet spot, right? Like, once they get to double A, we start to rub our hands together, right? Like, oh, is it coming? Is it coming? And this is a second stint in double A. So, you know, he did pretty well last year as, you know, being 22, which is young for that league. Now he's 23 and just amazing. The walk rates, while they're not, you know, George Kirby level, are 3.5, 3.39. He's got a career, like, right there. That's what you want, man. If you're giving me 12-plus K/9s, I can live in the 3.5s. It leans probably not to complete ace, but right there. Like, I take that. I just think he's going to get better with time, man. I think if you have not bought on the Breon Bello train just yet, you may be too late. But realistically, I think he's going to be a top 75 prospect everywhere once the next big updates come. He is going to be in everybody's top 100. So go get him now. Run, do not walk before it is too pricey. Because he is of that ilk. And this is where you see guys like him, right? There's a lot of really good pitchers in high A, but the time you see jumps into the top 100 is when they get that call to double A. Really look at your double A pitchers with guys who are good, because that's when ranking updates are like, hey, they're close-ish. How are they doing at double? Oh, they're doing well. I'm going to put them in a top 100. Deserving or not, we've seen guys like Jordan Blazevic. We've seen some other guys that have popped up that aren't quite great. That once they get to double A, they play well, they put him in the top 100. This is that kind of guy. I think he's going to prove the hype. Pick him up now. He has the potential to be a high-end number two for me. So, I love Breon Bello.
Keep your eye on the Red Sox right now, because just like Hunter said, they need pitching in the major leagues, whether it's in the bullpen or in the rotation. We've already seen it with Tanner Houck, right? So they're willing, and Whitlock for that matter, use him as a relief pitcher first. Bring him in. Don't be discouraged. Buy in. Some names that you need to keep an eye on for right now with the Red Sox, okay? You need to keep an eye on Brandon Walter, Wilkman Gonzalez, Chris Murphy, in addition to Bello right now. Those guys are really making a push. Now, Wilkman Gonzalez is a little bit farther away. He's in low A, okay? So I'm not telling you to rush out and get him. But if you're going Walter and Chris Murphy right now in addition to Bello, go after those guys because they are looking great this year. We'll talk about them in a future episode, but you know, run, don't walk. Go ahead and get them now while their price is a little bit lower. Hunter, moving right along here, we got two more in the news and notes to get through, and before we end up getting into a little bit more, and we're already 40 minutes in, so that's always fun. Always fun with the biscuit on.
Wait. Was this not the show?
No, apparently not. So here we go. All right. So big day for Miami Marlins outfielder JJ Bleday. Hits two home runs for AAA Jacksonville against Memphis. 4-for-6 with two home runs, three RBIs, four runs scored. You know, We talked about him in the offseason. Here recently, he's been scorching at the plate through his last 18 games. Through his first 18 games, Bleday was hitting 159, 321, 286. Absolutely horrible, with just two home runs and 63 at-bats. But over the last eight games, Hunter, he has an eight-game hitting streak since then. LeDay is slashing 414, 509, 828 with three home runs, three doubles, and 29 at-bats. What do you make of LeDay? Because even with those inflated numbers, I still don't see the changes that he needed to make. What do you think?
I'll never buy J.J. LeDay, ever. I don't buy Marlins outfielders. I've yet to see one with that profile that ever pans out. But I will say, to be contrarian to what you just said, just to give the other viewpoint, his walk rate's always around the low 20s, and he's always had his K rate's always been in the low 20s. The walk rate's been between 13 and 17. Those are numbers. Those are encouraging. And his BABIP from 19 was a 306, 2021 was a 250, and so far this year is 283. If his name wasn't that and you had another guy there, you would tell me he had just had bad luck. Now, at some point, the bad luck is just who you are, and that may be what this is. But from a statistical perspective, it almost just feels like this man walked under a ladder, saw a black cat, broke a mirror, and just had the world's worst luck. Because that's a really low BABIP. The talent is there. I will never buy. I think it's too late. But if you were a J.J. LeDay owner, or maybe you're in a deep minor league league and you're looking for maybe that extra piece on a trade, maybe it's J.J. LeDay, I could see it panning out. It would not shock me if that BABIP comes back and he gets a little bit of that mojo back and it starts going the other direction, because at some point, that's too low. Like, the guys, like, that's a really low BABIP, like a 250 to really, like, that's low. So I don't buy. I probably will never buy. I don't see the other things making him worth it. But there are some things that would make me think that maybe it's a little bit of bad luck. So buy cautiously, but I don't love him, no.
Moving along to a guy that I know that you don't love either. Talking about New York Yankees outfielder Jason Dominguez. He hits a two-run home run in low A. And quite frankly, it has been atrocious. It's been atrocious in 2021. It's not good in 2022.
Because he sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, Matty Ballgame and myself, we were able to get out to a game in which that we actually ended up meeting a Yankee scout. Talked with him a little bit about the system of the Yankees as a whole. Talked about Jason Dominguez. Okay. If I were you, let me put it this way. If I were you and I could sell Jason Dominguez on the hype that was 2 years ago, I would do it in a heartbeat. If I could sell Jason Dominguez for
a bag of Fritos,
50% of that, 50% of that, I would do it in a heartbeat. I don't think that he has the Yankees' vote of confidence. I think if he produces at any level, at any time, and some team shows interest, he's gone. I would hop off. I'd hop off now. Hunter, you can weigh in on it, but that was going to be pretty much right
there. He sucks. We can move on. We don't. The time is short. We don't have you to just bring me to speak eloquently about how much I dislike Jason Dominguez. And I told all of you. I told all of you. Have a good day.
And with that, we are going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. Stay tuned to the Prospect Pod. We will return in a moment.
What's going on? This is Ryan Antkowiak, host of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Do me a favor. Pull out your wallet or money clip or phone case. Give it a good inspection. If it's anything like mine, it's pretty meh. I mean, let's be honest, it's a wallet. Well, what if there was a product that blended something you love with something you need? Turns out there is. LineDriveOutfitters.com takes real baseball mitts and turns them into wallets, billfolds, money clips, clutches, and other accessories. And get this, you can get your favorite team's logo engraved or stitched right into the leather. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I grab my own mitt, I get this rush of nostalgia, and it brings me right back to Little League. So let's face it, we all need to carry around our credit cards, cash, IDs, gift cards, whatever. So you might as well carry it around in It's something that makes you think about the thing we all love, baseball. These babies are hand-stitched, handmade, and made right here in America. Whether you're looking for a unique gift or a way to show off your love of the game, LineDriveOutfitters.com offers a wide variety of products for men and women. That's not all. They will literally make your wallet out of your own mitt. How cool is that? Do me a favor, check out LineDriveOutfitters.com or check them out on Instagram or Facebook at LineDriveOutfitters. They are a home run.
Welcome back, everybody. We are back to talk some more prospects with the Country Biscuit Hunter Riggs from the Full Count Pod. That's right, the silky smooth voice of the buttery gravy biscuit that is Hunter Riggs. All right, Hunter, we are going to kind of go a little faster because we did run a little bit long, but there are some guys that I do want to at least kind of brush on here as we kind of finish up. I'm sure some of our listeners don't mind listening to good content, so we're willing to go a little bit beyond the hour mark. One of the ones that we actually talked about today in the moderator's chat and on the Facebook page, I did put a little post out there. I wanted to actually hear you and your side, because everybody read mine, right, on the group page. I want to get your opinion on Milan Tolentino. He is a prospect in the Cleveland Guardians organization. He is in low A right now in Lynchburg. Got live looks at him earlier in the season. It looks fantastic. We're both fans, so we're not against each other on this at all. But I want to get your take from somebody who, you know, has owned him in many leagues, and quite frankly, fits the mold of what we have seen from the Guardians producing. They have a ton of them in their system. This might be the next one. What do you think?
So, Tolentino's a guy that I like because I love safe prospects. There's nothing wrong with keeping safe guys, especially in deeper leagues, because we have been known that if they play, they will get paid, right? You can go acquire them. Because that's all that matters in deeper leagues. I don't know what he becomes, but I would almost bet a lifetime supply of gravy that he makes the bigs and has some form of a career. It may be utility, but the hit tool is very strong. The walk rate is very strong. And I think you see some of it. You know, he hit six homers in 2021 or seven homers in 2021. I think he kind of was trying to show out. He kind of got back to what made him popular as a prospect, right? He backed it back down. I'm going to focus on my walk rate. I'm going to focus on my at the plate. And he's already had, you know, more doubles than he had in the entire 2021. He focused more on putting back to ball, focusing on his walk rate. And that's exactly what his calling card was in the draft. I think he's as solid as they get. I called Nick Madrigal just because that's the one that I think is the current example of a guy who can walk, has a good hit tool, doesn't hit homers, can steal some bases, but not a ton. That's kind of the mold I see. And while that may not lead to crazy fantasy numbers, I don't think he's ever crazy relevant in fantasy unless it's a deeper league. I just think he's going to play somewhere. I think somebody's going to have his rookie card. Somebody's going to have a jersey. Somebody's going to go see Milan Tolentino play in the majors in about 4 years and watch him play for five. He's going to go through all of ARP. I think he's got that kind of career in him. It may not be amazing. He may not ever break a record. He may never make an all-star game, but he looks like a gamer. That's what I like about him. And he's got a very high baseball IQ, very high character. That's the kind of guy you bet on to make it. So I don't see a lot of love for fantasy, but from a real-life perspective, I think he's solid.
I agree. I think he'll get the call up to high A here in short order because he's absolutely tearing apart low A. And he looks very physically developed at this age, too. Usually in this league, you're going to see a lot skinnier profiles. You know, he looks built. He looks like he's ready to make that next jump, and he's still very, very young. So, Milan Tolentino, you guys read my little blurb that's there on the Weekly Streamer Facebook group page. Make your decision for yourself, but I think this is somebody you can get in your leagues for next to nothing right now. Moving on to a guy that actually would have cost you quite a bit in the 2020 draft. I'm talking about Austin Hendrick here. Austin Hendrick actually had a decent last week And he's been kind of turning it around, so. But from what we've talked about in the offseason, you did the write-up here with the Reds. I helped you out a little bit with it, and we had a great podcast on it. If you guys haven't listened to it, please go back and listen to it. And fun fact, it is the most listened to podcast that we have with the Weekly Streamer, Cincinnati Reds yes, System Breakdown.
My mother, sister, cousin, everybody. Biscuits Petty. I'll send it to everybody. If you love me, you listened.
That's it. So Austin Hendrick, he is a guy, we talked about this, he tinkers a ton with his swing. It looks like he's finally gotten back to the way that he had his swing prior to the draft in 2020. He's going back to that. The average is going up, though it's still not great. A 253 average, a 344 OBP, and a 506 slug. So the slugging percentage is going back in the right direction of where we want it to be. And already to this point, 6 home runs. Okay. He had 7 in 63 games at low A last year, only 23 games so far. The power is coming back, Hunter. It's still a massive work in progress. But what do you think about a guy that's in your quote unquote home team?
No. I am zero excited about Austin Hendrick because he's everything I don't look at for prospects. While the average is up, the walk rate has plummeted. He's no longer walking at that same amount. So while the contact gains have been there, the walk rate has not. It has almost dropped in half. While the power is encouraging, a 36 K rate with a 10% walk rate does not play anywhere. I don't care if you have to hit 65 bombs for that to play. And it's not going to get better as you go up. You are in high A, okay? There are high school level pitchers pitching in high A. That is where the babies are, okay? You are playing against baby pitching. And you're striking out that much? Bro, there are high school hitters who would strike out that much in baby low A. Come on, man. Like, I'm not into it. I don't think it pans out. Yeah, dude, like, he needs to stop that nonsense. He's best case for Austin Hendricks with the current trajectory he's on is Joey Gallo, and I hate Joey Gallo. So, there it is. And that's the absolute best case at this point.
There it is. another guy that we brought up last year on the Prospect Pod, I hope you guys bought then because now the cost is just through the freaking roof and it's only getting higher. Kyle Harrison is who I'm talking about, a left-handed pitcher with San Francisco. Has 2 double-digit strikeout games in a row. The guy has 42 strikeouts in 19 innings pitched. Absolute filth. A 2.37 ERA. 186 average against. Hunter, this guy's filthy. I liked what I saw last year, but man, he just took it to a whole nother level so far. And this is all being done at High A Eugene right now.
Yeah, at 20 years old. Yeah. There's still things he needs to work on. The walk rate is still too high. We're still working on putting innings on his body. There's works in progress there. But with the stuff that he has, he's got top 25 prospect potential. He has the ability to be the next guy that we talk about when we talk about the George Kirby's and the Grayson Rodriguez's and the Cade Cavalli's and those kind of guys, right? As those guys keep going up the ladder, we need new guys that are going to pop up. He is legit. He's not a fad like some other ones that you see. He is legit. I think the cost, because people haven't moved him up yet, I would say you've got about a month until the rankings updates because you're going to find guys in your league that live and die by those rankings. You got about a month before those rankings come out and he's top 50. Go get him now. Go run. The guys who probably have him ain't going to move him, but good luck. But maybe you can go get him because I'm telling you now that this is the last chance you're going to be able to buy him and the ROI be positive. After that, you never know. But it's a guaranteed ROI positive if you buy it right now. So I would go run, maybe overpay what you feel is, because it's going to go up, because he's going to be a top 50 prospect, if not higher. That walk rate goes down. That walk rate goes to more 3/9. He's a top 25 prospect today. So I would try to acquire best you can. I think he's legit.
Kyle Harrison is currently the 87th ranked prospect in the weekly streamer prospect rankings. So you guys, I hope that you bought, because he will continue to go up. And the second name you said there, Grayson Rodriguez, I'm just saying, he is a lefty doing what he's doing right now with a very good pitch mix, good control. I like what we're seeing here with Kyle Harrison. It's moving into the right direction. All right. Another pitcher that I want to bring up here. It's the last that we're going to end up being here with our little bit of a breakdown, and it's going to be Carl Kaufman. Okay, it's a right-handed pitcher with Colorado. And before you guys just turn off the podcast right now because I'm bringing up a Colorado Rockies pitcher, hold the phone, okay? This is a guy that was taken in the second round, I believe back in 2019. His last outing against AA Binghamton, which is the Mets' AA affiliate, Kaufman struck out 9 8 innings pitch, striking out 6 batters in a row in the 5th and 6th innings. So for 2 innings, straight Ks, strike out the side. The first 2 games of the year were really rough for Kaufman, but over the last 2 outings, Kaufman has looked extremely sharp with good competition as well. He's faced AA Somerset, the AA affiliate of the New York Yankees. They got a lot of talent right there, including Anthony Volpe. And then, of course, AA Binghamton. He's holding a 3.03 ERA with 37 strikeouts and 29 and a third innings pitched. This is nothing crazy, but I do believe that you can get that Colorado Rockies discount in terms of pitchers. Nobody wants to touch him, okay? Kaufman might be an easy get there without the numbers being absolutely astronomical. What do you think, Biscuit?
Man, I don't, like, if you look at his numbers, like, when you're listening to this, go pull up his Fangraphs. They don't make sense. What I have to know more. I need to go call his daddy and be like, hey, Mr. Kaufman, what did your son do? Because this man looked like a complete dumpster fire all of last year. Never carried above 7.13. Walk rate was around 4 in one level. It was low at high A, but when he got to double A, it was a 4.5. Nothing was clicking. FIP was atrocious. It all sucked. But then he goes to this year. And you're looking at an 11 K rate, a sub 2.5 walk rate. You're looking at LOB percentage at 73.6. Everything is clicking. FIP is amazing. XFIP's great. Even lower than the ERA. It don't make any sense. Where does it come from? And my favorite thing is he's pitched almost 6 innings every time he's pitched.
They're letting him go. He's 24.
I would need more. Like, I would do more deep diving. Like, I'd be like Facebooking his teammates. Like, what is he on? Like, give me some.
To be fair, like, AA is in Hartford, Connecticut for the Rockies. This is the only team that's on this side of the country. Everything else is on the West Coast.
So I don't know what's going on. But when you wrote his name on the show notes, I didn't read it. I said, nope, and kept going. Because I saw Colorado, and I saw a guy I didn't know. But as we were getting on here this probably an hour ago, I pull it up on Fangraphs, start looking, and I go, huh. He's not expensive. I didn't know him, and I know everybody. I'm sure you own him everywhere. I'm sure you went and got him, so I can't go get him now.
So all of you in the different streamer leagues that we're in or the authentic or whatever, you can go get him. I don't have
him. It can't be hard to acquire. I mean, what's the worst that can happen with that level? If he's that'll play anywhere, right? And he's an older pitcher. If he's that plays no matter what. And just because you're in Colorado, the rest of that division is a pitcher's ballpark. So if you're going to San Diego or San Francisco's okay, but like there's other pitchers' parks in that division, like you'll be fine. So, I mean, Kyle Freeland's made a career of it. Why not? Why can't this guy? So.
I like it. I like that reasoning. He's 28th on Pipeline right now. If you look at MLB Pipeline, he is 28th ranked in the Colorado Rockies system. So go out there and inquire.
Move out of this. Yeah.
Go out and inquire. I can't imagine it costs you too much. Nobody likes hanging on to Colorado Rockies pitchers. All right, Hunter, moving on to the last segment that we have here at the hour mark. We did pretty good picking it up a little bit. But yet we didn't take away from the listeners or the viewers for that matter. If you're watching us right now on YouTube, you can see us there. But the last segment that we have here is going to end up being the live look session. Now, I'm going to be kind of bouncing off of you. Obviously, I got the live look on this. It is the Low A Kannapolis, which is the Low A affiliate of the Chicago White Sox, versus Low A Fredericksburg for the Washington Nationals. I'll be real with you guys. Whenever I went, I figured I'm going to go see Brady House, and that's pretty much it for Washington. That wasn't the case. And I thought I was really just going to be going to Low A Kannapolis and taking a look at Colson Montgomery and Wes Kaff, and that would be it. And once again, not the case. Hunter, obviously Brady House was the main attraction
here. Right.
This guy is a man amongst boys, even though that he is like 19, 20 years old to this point.
Right.
This guy, whenever you step on a Low A field.
Yeah.
I've been to so many High A and Double A games at this point that I forget whenever I go to a Low A game, like how young these guys are. This kid looked immediately just jacked. A full sleeve tattoo, just looked like he was just on rehab. That's how he looked, honestly, in his workouts, his plate approach. I got some live looks there. It's all on YouTube, so make sure that you guys go and check that out on the Weekly Streamer YouTube page. I mean, looked sharp. Looked really good defensively. I'm not sure he'll stick it short. He could end up moving to third base. The height for me kind of does it. But the numbers so far here in Low A Fredericksburg has been, you know, pretty darn good to this point. A 326 average, 408 OBP, and a 449 slug. You know, we're seeing two home runs to this point, 24 RBIs and 15 runs.
Yeah.
This guy comes up in the clutch almost every single time. Walk rate is respectable, but though I think you're going to agree with me on this, I want to see it higher in Low A. You know, this is a guy that's clearly hitting the ball very, very well. He doesn't need to be, you know, getting fooled. You know, he should be taking his bags, taking his bases, working his counts. I need to see that walk rate go up. And quite frankly, that K rate, even at 25.2%, once again, a little too high for that Low A that I like to see. I want to see him closer towards that 20 to 18 range before he gets that bump to High A, which I don't think won't be too far. I think by the end of the year, I think he finishes in High A and starts the year next year in High A. What do you think about Brady House?
You know, there's a... He's, you know, we made a football reference earlier, or even a basketball reference when we go NBA. He's kind of that 18-year-old kid that went to the G League for a year, and he's all potential, right? 6'4", 215, looks like a grown man, has the power potential, looks athletic, can do everything, but is raw. He's still fairly young. He's not quite 19 yet, so pretty young for a draft class guy. In comparison, a guy you saw in Colson Montgomery is a full year older than him while being a high school guy in the same class. You want to see a little higher walk rate. He is still young for the level, even at 18. So, but there's a lot to dream on. The power hasn't quite been there as he's working on other things. But you really see it, right? You see the workings. It's going to be a while. Take your time. But I really think that they have something there in Brady House. I agree with you. I don't think he stays short. But to me, he's the only one we're going to talk about that I truly believe is going to make it. And that's, I mean, it's Low A, who knows? But he's the only one we're going to talk about that I'm truly convinced is going to be in the bigs.
Yeah, I agree with that one. The second one that we're going to talk here, this was a guy that actually kind of caught me off guard. I knew the name, obviously, taken in the competitive round, the 71st overall in 2020. Sammy Infante is a shortstop that Washington ended up getting. And at the time, I was kind of perplexed because he didn't look like he had much skills with the bat. Could have been a little bit more towards the fielding side, but even so, it was just kind of meh. It was very vanilla, right? Watched him in his first at bat, worked a full count, fouling off a ton of pitches, and then all of a sudden just absolutely unloads on a 92-mile-an-hour sinker and just deposits it on the left field line all the way out. So Sammy Infante was pretty interesting throughout the rest of the game. I mean, he did get caught looking once, but the rest of his at-bats were worked out. The average in the OBP has been absolutely atrocious, but the power has been huge for Infante, something that wasn't quite what he was known for, Already in 19 games, we're already seeing 7 home runs, 20 RBIs, and 17 runs scored. But that K rate, oh my gosh, Hunter, that K rate is 30.5% at low A. I don't know. I don't see a ton to work with here, but you know, the power output was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's never something I'm going to buy into. I think you can always find power. Definitely someone to look into to keep your name on. Maybe you go get him as a kind of an add-on in a trade because there's potential there with the power. But for me, power is easy to find. It's hard to find guys who can walk a lot, not K a ton. Not a guy I would be investing a ton of capital into to go acquire.
This might have been one of the pop-out guys that really impressed me from this trip that I was not on prior to. If you listened to the Washington Nationals podcast from last week, you heard me talking about him at the end of the show. Got to bring him back up again here. TJ White. Guys, keep your eye out on TJ White. 18 years old. He was taken in the 5th round of the 2021 draft. Really a kind of forgotten guy with massive, massive power output. You know, he is a very physical looking guy. He's absolutely jacked right now at 18 years old. Right now in low A, he's got an 11.5% walk rate. The K rate's ridiculous at 34.6. That's got to change for sure. But whenever you're seeing a guy that's batting 283, 365, 500 slug with already 2 home runs on there, 9 runs, 3 RBIs, this is a guy that needs to be on your radar, a young guy that could really be able to kind of help you in some of these deeper dynasty leagues. TJ White, keep an eye out on some of your 30 mans for him.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I would agree with him. He was the one guy that I read that I will probably go try to acquire in some leagues. I think he's probably worth a flyer.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much next to nothing. Colson Montgomery for the White Sox was one of the major targets for this game. Really the number 2 guy that I really wanted to see. And was really strong in what I saw in terms of his approach. Now, you know, the contact was very weak that I saw. I wanted to see a little bit more authority behind it, but a very physical build. There's still some projection that's still left on that body for Colson Montgomery. You know, but the 13.2% walk rate, 20.6% K rate is good. You know, you want to see a little bit lower, but it's fine. The OBP at 353, you know, I like what I'm seeing, but I need to see a little bit more of Colson Montgomery as he continues to move up the ladder as one of the highest ranked prospects in that White Sox organization. Any thoughts on Montgomery?
You know, I agree with you. I think at 6'4", 205, you have to just think power's going to get there at some point. He is a little old. He's already, you know, well into his 20s right now. So a little old for me, not a younger prospect in that class compared to Brady House, who's not 19 yet. It's a little worrisome, but the walk rate K rate shows me he knows how to handle the strike zone. And with that build, I would assume power is going to get there. I like him, don't love him. Definitely a guy I have on my radar, though.
All right. One of the guys I had to bring up here for our boy, Ed Fingerhut, the Irish, Mr. James Beard. It's a guy that him and I both appreciate, though, you know, there's still a good work in progress. He was a high school bat that was taken. I believe here in 2019 in the 4th round. You know, whenever I watched him, the approach was really, really good. Contact, I mean, there's not much power at all there, though he does have 2 home runs on the season, which is pretty darn impressive, honestly. 12 stolen bases. This is a guy that's going to have your speed, an 80 grade speed. One of the only ones I've seen with an 80 grade, the highest speed rating you can get, okay? 12 stolen bases, only 2 caught stealing. So the guy's got absolute wheels and knows how to use them on the base paths. A 14.6% walk rate. You love seeing that. The 34% K rate, it's got to go down, obviously. But this is a guy that has, you know, decent on-base percentage. I mean, is he Billy Hamilton 2.0? Sure looks like it. Sure looks like it. But it could be huge for fantasy if he does get up there as, you know, one of these, you know, pinch hitter, pinch runners, whatever the case might be, could get you a lot of stolen bases. We'll kind of leave that one there. Wes Kath. Oh my gosh, Hunter. I'm out.
You're out?
I'm out.
Done?
I'm out. I don't want it.
No.
I don't want it, man. I don't want it.
You can have it. I don't want it. I'll potato and a drop.
I don't want it.
Nope.
I don't want it. He looked lost, man. He looked lost. And the walk rate at 14% is great, but man, it's borderline passive. It looks like Nolan Jones all over again. It looks like Nolan Jones all over again. That was weak contact there. It just was not pretty, man. And unless he changes his approach drastically, I want nothing to do with it.
You know what's craziest? He's a full year older than Brady House. Full year older. He'll be 20 for this all said and done. I'm with you. I've never got the West Calf hype. Just not a guy. Just never. You give me 20 of those, two pan out.
He was a guy that was projected to potentially go in the back end of the first round. And I think that that's what a lot of folks still kind of sit on because he had the potential. But, man, it just doesn't look right. It needs some work. And I don't like hating on people like that. High school bets. Well, the last guy I want to talk about here, Hunter, this is a guy that I do believe that you guys need to go out and acquire right away. This is Maisel Gonzalez. He was with the White Sox organization here. He was actually drafted in the 12th round of the 2019 draft class. So he's actually been around for a while, which is crazy because he's only 20 years old. But this is a guy at the plate that looks, pretty darn solid. A 265 average, 367 OBP, a 426 slug percentage, 8.9% walk rate, the K rate. Once again, all these White Sox are just swinging and missing left and right. But I saw him absolutely unload on a 90-mile-an-hour fastball and just crushed it. Home run, got that up on the Weekly Streamer YouTube page. He does have a little bit of stolen base potential here. Extremely sneaky. He's in the bottom end of the top 30s for the White Sox organization. So you guys can take a look there and see. Hunter, any last thoughts on that?
If I had to own a White Sox, he probably wouldn't be the worst pick. If I had to own a White Sox prospect.
I think that's a pretty good way to end that. That's the end of the live look section here. We're going to go towards the wrap up, but Hunter just sent me a question. I got to take it to the streets. I got to take it to the streets here. This is a guy that is asking me right now if I want to play a game that he ended up bringing to the Full Count Pod. And I'm going to tell you, I'm horrible at this, Hunter. So what he's talking about is doing like a guess a player, right? I'll let you explain it.
So we play this on the Full Count, and it is a guess that player. I am a big fan of wrestling, and I listen to a wrestling podcast called Straight Shoot. And they do this with wrestlers, and it is a guess the wrestler. So how this is going to work, we're going to guess the baseball player. It is any baseball player since the live ball era I could choose. I do make it easy. I'm not going crazy. It is a prominent player. This player will have known him. It's not going to be any backups, no middle inning relievers, unless they're just super famous. It is going to be guys we have heard of, guys who've been relevant and have relevance. So Rick, would you like to play?
Well, let's try it, but it's going to be bad.
Okay. So you have 60 seconds. To guess, I'm going to pull up the handy dandy timer. I've got my wiki pulled up. Am I moving on this on the screen or is it frozen?
You're fine. I can see you.
Okay. Sometimes it likes to fizzle out. So I'm going to get my handy dandy alarm clock going. We're going to stopwatch or timer. So we're going to. Well, see, you can't be worse than Ryan because he is literally the worst. Sorry. So you let me know when you're ready to go. This is a player. From wherever, I will give you some hints. Narrow it down as fast as possible. That is going to be your godsend. It's the one thing that Ryan just refuses to do. Dave was good at it. So, Rick, when you are ready.
Let's go.
Say, all right, go. All
right, go.
2000s?
Yes.
Like yes. Early 2000s?
No.
2010?
No.
Of both. 2010s and late 2000s.
NL or AL?
NL.
East or west?
East.
East?
Yeah.
Is he third base?
No.
First base?
No.
Catcher?
No.
Pitcher?
No.
Outfield?
No.
Shortstop?
One more.
No.
What? One more. What is he, a manager?
No, if he's not a pitcher, a first base, a third base, or a shortstop, what's the other infield position, Rick?
Catcher?
No, what's the other one? What's the other one? On the other side.
Oh my gosh, this is unreal.
And that's a minute. And that's a minute. So he wow. So he plays second base.
What just so happened?
He plays second base, Rick. The other
it was too much pressure. It was too parallel.
So how we should have done that, you should have been 2000s, 2010s. Yes, okay? Then you could have said NLAL, NL. I know you did that. You were going good. And then you just pooped the bed. And you freaked out. The guy I was going with was former Atlanta Brave in my Florida Marlin, Dan Ugla.
Ugla. Get out of here, Ugla.
That's who I was going with. Oh,
get out of
here. Oh, Dan Ugla is who the guy was. And Rick, hey, Ryan, if you're listening, at least know that Rick is worse than you. I wish someone would play this with me. I want to say I would like to think I'd be better at this. And I'm not a baseball historian.
You know what I need to do? I need to write it down and then just be like, pow,
pow, get your questions pow, ready and just, all right.
That's what I need to do. Anyway. So what's right. So Hunter, what's going on over at the Full Count right now? What are you guys up to?
You know, I think we're just trying to make as best content as possible each week, trying to get you guys ready for your leagues. And, you know, there's a lot of baseball podcasts out there that give a lot of great information and things like that. We try to be different. If you can tell here, we bring the comedic aspect. We bring the fun aspect. I'd like to say we are the Dan Le Batard of the fantasy baseball community. We give you great information, great things to help. We all are avid fantasy players, but we do it in a fun way that's not going to bore the ever-loving tar out of you, as a lot of these baseball podcasts like to do. Shots fired.
I like it. I like it. You guys can follow him at TWS Biscuit over there with the Full Count Pod. If you guys aren't listening, what are you doing? Subscribe to the Weekly Streamer Network. You guys can check him out there. Check him out on TikTok with the Weekly Streamer Network. Anything you see on that, it is Hunter Rakes out there getting the work done. Like I said throughout the podcast here, check out the YouTube channel, the Weekly Streamer YouTube channel. You'll be able to check out all the live looks that we talked about today. Video footage, and yeah, it's great. Go check us out on Patreon. Last note, we said this here with the Raz. If you guys saw it on Facebook, Hunter brought this up, actually. Obviously, we have different tiers in the Patreon page. If you are somebody who gets into the weekly Razes, consider joining our Hall of Fame tier. It's $20 a month. You get all the features that we talked about earlier, but every single week, you are entered into a Raz free of charge. Okay. It's $10 per spot that you get into that Raz. If you're there, $20 a month gets you 4 spots. It pays for itself, guys. And you get free merchandise as well that's sent to you. I'm actually just about to get my weekly streamer coffee mug. So probably whenever I'm out here podcasting, you're going to see that here soon. Ryan's already got one. It looks fantastic. So yeah, you guys go check that out. Weekly streamer, Patreon. It's all on there for you. And once again, from all of us here at the Weekly Streamer, have yourselves a great baseball week.